The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
What is the difference in believing in Christ and loving Christ? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Today, Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are taking questions from listeners not so unlike yourself. If you've got one of those questions you'd like to send in, you can do it through email. radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, welcome to the show. We're so glad you're listening, whether you're listening for the first time or whether you are a recurring, every daily listener. I always get a kick out of hearing people who say, hey, I listen to you guys every single day. But I so appreciate what an awesome responsibility it is.
And by the way, Sean and I are both very cognizant of the truth of James 3:1, where James says, "Do not let many of you become teachers, my brethren, for as such we will incur a stricter judgment." We recognize that at the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to give an account for every answer we give to every one of your questions. Mm. So it's a sobering responsibility. And we try very hard when we're answering these questions to say, this is what we believe the passage means, but there are some other options.
Right.
And sometimes not everybody agrees with the interpretation we have,
right.
But the main thing we want people to understand is Scripture never contradicts Scripture.
Yeah, that would be one of our principles of interpretation, and we don't want to contradict Scripture. So check everything we say against Scripture, because that's what we're trying to do.
Right.
But as fallible people, you know, just talking through these issues, I think, is just in itself a helpful kind of learning process, and I hope we can help you guys think through these issues.
This is very spiritually edifying for us, answering all these questions.
Yeah, and just thinking about it and, you know, and trying to be faithful. It's a good exercise. Well, here's a question from Ralph, and Ralph tells us a little bit about his life story, but at the very end here, he says, here's my request. Could you do a program regarding the difference between belief or trusting Christ's promises and love? It seems to me they're used very precisely, one for justification and the other for discipleship and sanctification. So thank you. So I guess the question is, what's the difference between believing and loving?
Okay, well, I assume Ralph means believing in Christ and loving Christ.
Because, yeah, so he says believing or trusting in Christ's promises. Maybe you want to start off with saying, what's the difference between believing a promise and trusting a promise? I don't know.
I would take those as the same.
Yeah.
To believe that Jesus is telling the truth when he says, he who believes in me has everlasting life, is the same as trusting that's true.
Right.
Now, of course, some people by trust might mean I'm living in light of what I believe. And so I'm applying it. And that would be getting over into the sanctification area.
Okay.
But he's talking about justification, believing Christ's promises.
Right.
And sanctification, loving Christ.
Yeah.
And I would say we definitely see that in Scripture. For example, 2 Corinthians 5:14, Paul says, the love of Christ constrains us, or the love, some translations, the love of Christ compels us. And it goes on to say, because he died for us, therefore we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren.
Okay, so to believe is to be persuaded that something is true.
Right.
And especially a promise. If Jesus promises to do something, you're persuaded that his promise is true, or you trust him that to do what he promises to do. But now love is not just about being persuaded about something in our mind. It sounds like it can involve like sacrifice and behavior.
Love in Scripture is not like it is in Hollywood, where in Hollywood love is kind of a feeling.
Mm.
You have this ooey gooey feeling towards someone.
Right.
But in Scripture, love is active. Love is doing. Love is obeying.
Love is a verb.
Right. When we're told to love one another, it doesn't mean have warm feelings for one another. John gives a specific example, and so does James, where they say, if you love someone and you have the world's goods, then you need to give the world's goods to those who are in need.
So is love, it can have feelings involved, but primarily love means doing good to people?
Right. And so if you love Jesus, you are doing good to him, which in the scope of things is pleasing him.
Okay.
In other words, the way we honor Jesus and the way we show our love for him is by honoring him with our lives, our actions, our words. so that he is receiving praise.
I've often wondered about that, because like if someone is hungry and you're loving them, you're doing good to them, it's easy to see what that means. It means feeding them,
right?
You know, or clothing them or giving them shelter or whatever. And I've often wondered, well, what does it mean to love God? If we're trying to seek God's good, what does that mean? God's not hungry. You know,
right.
God's not thirsty. But interestingly, Jesus says he rewards people where he says, I think the judgment of the sheep and the goats, if you gave someone a cup of water, it was as if you're giving me a cup of water.
Exactly.
Isn't that so? In a way, you are doing good to Jesus by feeding him or giving him a drink.
Exactly. You see that in Matthew 25 in the judgment of the sheep and the goats, verses 31 to 46. And many other texts. For example, I think it's John 14:15, and I think it's 15:14, where Jesus says to the disciples, if you love me, keep my commandments.
Right.
Well, the way we reflect our love for Jesus is by obeying him, honoring him, and pleasing him.
Right. And that reminds me of my kids. I always say there's different ways of loving different people depending on what kind of neighbor they are to you. For my kids, the way I love them is I feed them and I clothe them and I educate them and stuff like that. But that's not the way they love me. They don't have to feed me. They don't have to clothe me. They don't have to provide me a place. Instead, the way they express their love to me is by obeying what I tell them to do.
And also honoring you.
And honoring you.
In other words, they don't cuss you out, but they call you dad or they call you daddy or whatever. And they also have glowing respect for you.
Right. And so that's how they do good to me. And I always thought,
I love that illustration.
It kind of clicked.
Good.
Ah, that's how we do good to God as well.
Yes.
We obey his commands, we honor him, we glorify him.
And by the way, years ago I did a sermon on praising God, what it means to praise the Lord. And what I said is we don't praise the Lord by saying the words praise the Lord. And we don't praise the Lord by saying the Hebrew hallelujah, which means praise Yahweh. The way we praise the Lord is by praising him, by saying God is good, God is just, God is love, God is eternal, God is kind, God is merciful.
Mm-hmm.
We speak the attributes of God, and that is how we praise him. Or how did David Renfro say there was declarative praise and descriptive praise?
Yeah.
Which was the descriptive?
Descriptive is who God is, and declarative is what he's done.
So in the declarative, we would say, you're the one who parted the Red Sea.
Right.
You're the one who drowned the Egyptians in the same waters that you saved Israel from.
Right.
You're the one who gave the law at Mount Sinai.
Yeah.
You're the one who came into the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and delivered them from the fire. You're the one that delivered Daniel from the lion's den. You're the one that delivered David from Goliath. We can point out all these things that God has done. That's another way we praise him. So I think in terms of Ralph's question, there's a connection between justification and sanctification, or between believing in Christ and what he promises and loving Christ. And the connection is this. When we know that we have everlasting life by faith in Christ, we know we are secure in him.
Right.
That gives us the platform upon which to love him.
Right. What did Jesus say to the woman who was washing his feet in tears?
The one who's forgiven much loves
much. So that's not the only motivation to love God, but it's a powerful motivation.
It really is. And we have some articles on our website on various motivations. For example, we're motivated because we want God's blessings in this life.
Sure.
We're motivated because we want his blessings in the life to come. We're motivated because we don't want his hand of discipline and chastisement. But we're also motivated because he has done so much for us.
Right.
We long to please him. We long to have his approval.
Right.
Isn't that what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27? I discipline my body, bring into subjection, lest when he's preached to others, I myself might be adokimos, disapproved.
Right. Now, Ralph says, you know, love is for discipleship or sanctification. Now, those are two different terms. So maybe you can say something about I can see how love is a part of discipleship, but are we sanctified by the amount that we love? Are we sanctified by our works? Or I guess I was thinking maybe more sanctification has more to do with renewal of our mind first, and then that gets expressed in our behavior rather
than... That's a good point, Romans 12:2. You know, you have three kinds of sanctification. Past, which is essentially we've been set apart into the family of God, justification, basically. Present, which is I am being set apart in my experience, and that is generally called progressive sanctification. And future, which is glorification, when we'll be made like Christ.
Right.
We'll be given glorified bodies, we'll no longer sin. And when we talk about sanctification, we generally mean progressive sanctification.
Right. One of the things we've mentioned before is that a lot of people take a rule-based view of sanctification. But I think we've mentioned before that we, based on Zane Hodges' reading of Romans and Deliverance from Wrath, Romans 6, 7, and 8 kind of goes against this idea that you can be sanctified by trying to live up to rules and regulations.
That's a very good point. And he also, Zane Hodges, has a book called Six Secrets of the Christian Life. And basically, he brings out what you were saying earlier, that we're transformed by the renewing of our minds.
Would you say then that in loving people, we're sanctifying ourselves through loving, or is there a different relationship between love and progressive sanctification there?
Well, you're raising a very good question, and I guess I would say I'm not sure, but I think it's interconnected. In other words, as I love God, that motivates me to love people, and as I love people, I'm fulfilling what God has called me to do.
Okay.
But am I loving the people in order to be sanctified? I don't think so. I'm loving people because I love Jesus. So it seems to me the Christian life or progressive sanctification is really all about Jesus and us falling more and more in love with him, appreciating him more and more. John the Baptist said, he must increase and I must decrease. I think that's kind of a general principle of the Christian life.
Well, great question, Ralph. And I know this is going to, I mean, who wouldn't identify with the subjects of believing and love? I mean, that's just the center of the Christian life. And if you want to read more about it, Bob mentioned Six Secrets of the Christian Life by Zane Hodges. And you can find that at our website and our store at faithalone.org. Or just browse around for all the other articles that Bob mentioned about loving and believing. Lots of resources there for you in living the Christian life. Well, thanks for the question again, Ralph, and we hope to hear from other listeners in the near future. See you later.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Did you miss an episode of Grace and Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And we have all our past episodes right there on the site. In addition to this, we have all kinds of other free resources available for you. It's all designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On this program, we keep our requests for financial partners to a minimum. But if you are interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus, you can find out how to do that also at faithalone.org. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio at faithalone.org. That's radio at faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about exactly what repentance means, so tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.